good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
If you're visiting, you're an honored guest. We do have some.
Amen.
Thank you for being here.
Amen.
To the rest, you know, it's so marvelous to stand up here every Sunday morning and see faces with loving smiles on them. It's a pleasure. This morning, we're going to take a look at, I've titled the lesson, Blot Out, Impute. Those are two different words. But we're going to kind of take a picture or take a look at God from two different perspectives. And each of those is a significant Bible word. Blot out is one of them. Impute or credit or reckon is the other word. Isn't it great that God doesn't treat you and me the way we treat each other?
Amen.
Isn't it great that God doesn't treat us the way we treat ourselves? There's a lesson there for us to look at. The problem in life is sin. It's the problem of eternity. It is a question or an issue that must be answered if you and I are going to live eternally successful. Somehow this sin issue's got to be dealt with. You know the big problem with that? You don't have any power to deal with it. But that's a big issue, isn't it? Fortunately, we have a God in heaven who does have the power to deal with it, and indeed has dealt with it.
Amen.
The word blot out is used in the text. We'll look at some of those. It's kind of an idea of actually blotting wasn't so much the process. It was with some, I think. But to scrape it and make it clean is the idea there. You didn't just wad up a piece of paper and throw it away back in those days. They had to figure some other way to do that, and they had to work to get what they called paper, or often it was leather. And so once they worked and they put it all together, then it needed to be reused. Like the old whiteboards or blackboards that teachers used to use. They'd write for a while, and when they got done with it, they'd wipe it off and start all over again. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that a neat idea? Especially when we're talking sin and we're talking you and me, that this is an idea. I've said two words, the impute idea, we'll look at also, and that one's on kind of a positive side. One of them takes away, one of them adds. We have to have both of those, folks. We need our sins removed. Praise God, He's done that. In the doing of it, though, He adds to us something that absolutely must be in God's mind. And that's the imputing idea, or the reckoning and the crediting. And it's just a huge, beautiful picture. I kind of think of it as two sides of one marvelous coin. Okay, you've got blot out on one side and impute on the other. And boy, we need that. We really do. We're grateful that God provides both of them.
Yeah.
With that then as kind of the context of what we're going to do for a little bit here, let's look at Genesis 7, starting at 21. This is the wickedness in Noah's time. People were just ugly wicked. And God basically said, I'm going to wipe it out. He found Noah and his family. I think it's 2 Peter, 1 Peter 3, that talks about 8 souls that were saved by water. He found Noah and his family. The rest were blotted out, wiped out, flooded out, however you want to look at it. The text says in verse 23 of Genesis 7, Thus he blotted out every living thing that was on the face of the land. From man to animals to creeping things, birds of the sky, they were blotted out. That's the picture. The Hebrew word there is makah. It's Strong's number 4229. That should be in your bulletin if you wanted to chase that around. It literally is a cleaning, a scraping to clean, with the idea of expunging something so that it might be used again. Now, Linda Jones is not here, but a year, year and a half ago, she introduced me to a word I'd never seen before. Palimpsest. Go look it up. It literally, it's a Greek word that means again scraped. I was interested in George Orwell, 1984, the book. He said that all history was a palimpsest, scraped clean and reinscribed exactly as often as was necessary. Interesting. And history goes on, and they wipe it clean and start all over for their own purposes. It's kind of the idea. In a sense, this is what God has done for you and I in Christ Jesus. Let's look then at some Old Testament cases of this Hebrew word makah. I've already noted that it was found in the flood narrative. It figures in Moses' area. This is after the golden calf. He begs God, if God's not going to forgive him, then blot me out, he says, from your book. That's in Exodus 32, 32, and 33. That's pretty severe, isn't it? If you won't forgive these sinning people, and boy, they did, then blot me out from it, he said. In Psalm 69:28, let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not written with the righteous. The psalmist in that beautiful Psalms 51, verse 1. Have mercy on me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. That's significant. We'll look at that in a little bit. According to the multitude of your tender mercies, David asked, blot out my transgressions. I'm told that this was written very shortly after David's sin with Bathsheba. If you read it carefully, you'll see a contrite heart. You'll see a man who knows his needs and that he is in trouble. May I say, in verse 10 of that same chapter, David talks about him creating a clean heart in me, O God. Now, that's a part of it there. When God did move against Israel, they always had their troubles. It said in 2 Kings 21:13 that he wiped Jerusalem as one wipes a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down, cleaning it up pretty good there. During the time of Judges, the tribe of Benjamin is almost totally blotted out. A heinous crime occurs. It is made known to the children of Israel. You can go back in Judges 21, go back to 20 and read through that if you want. But they go after Benjamin. They say, none of us will ever give our children to marry a Benjamite. And then they go after them physically and almost wipe them out to the man. And someone comes in and says, this is Judges 21:17, there must be an inheritance for the survivors of Benjamin so that a tribe will not be blotted out from Israel. That became an issue. But we see the blotting out idea there. Isaiah 43:25, I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions. Are you ready? This is important. For my own sake. And I'll not remember your sins. There's a good word, isn't it?
Amen.
This is interesting. God blots out our transgressions, not because we deserve it, not really, probably, I guess it's because we need it, but the big issue isn't there. The big issue is because it's His nature. It's His essence and being and character that He wants the best for us.
Amen.
And so He does these things. Praise Him.
Amen.
Praise God for Himself. Isaiah 44:22, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. I like that. When God blots something out, I'm going to try to get us to impute here, but when God blots something out, it's almost the opposite of when He imputes something to us. It's the same God. It's for His own sake that He takes away what needs to be taken away, and then He puts back what has to be put back. When we talk about blot out, and I'm not in impute yet, the New Testament word is exalepho. It means to wipe away, same basic word. Some passages we need to keep in mind. Acts 3:19, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Colossians 2:14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. It's talking about that old law area. Revelation 3:5, he that overcomes, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Revelation 7:17. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and lead them into living fountains of waters, and God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. That's directly correspondent to that wipe out idea. And finally, in the 21st chapter of Revelation, verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. This wiping out idea is a good one for us, isn't it?
Yeah.
I like it. I think it's powerful. In Romans 3:23, after the first several chapters have the burden of proving that every man is under sin and needs a Savior, Romans 3:23 comes along with the culminating, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, that's kind of a segue, if you will, to this impute idea. All have sinned and come short. That presents us with a problem issue, doesn't it? What do I do? Verse 24, Romans 3, comes along and says, being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. The problem and the answer are adjacent to one another. Okay? God's answer to our problem is Christ Jesus, His Son. And we're talking about words that press this area. It comes from the very nature of our God. 1 John 4:16, then, we're talking credit, impute, reckon, the idea. We have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love. We've been talking about His nature. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Psalm 36:7. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of His wings. 1 Corinthians 2:9, quoting from Isaiah 64. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. I'm in 1 Timothy, the first chapter, starting at 14. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy. That's true for all of us. That in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. There's our solution beginning. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 and following. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. I like that. He's given to us everything we need, folks, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises. Promises are important. That by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. There's God's design for us. We'll blot out. We'll then do the things that allow us to become partakers of his nature. Having escaped the corruption that's in this world through lust, we need to get that part out. And that's part of the blot out idea. Romans, the 4th chapter, marvelous chapter. If you want to look at impute and reckon and credit, if you read it in the King James, you'll get all of those words. They're all the same Greek word, may I say. If you read it in ESV or New American Standard, New American Standard, I know, uses the word credited. And the idea is that something is put into a ledger or into a book that makes something okay. Okay? From an accounting bookkeeping standpoint, a credit usually was better than a debit. A debit meant money heading out, a credit meant money coming in. We used to like that. Romans 4, verse 1 and following. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about. But not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God. It was credited to him as righteousness. You get that? Abraham did this, and God did this. And what God did is what matters. Now to the one who works, his wage is not credited as a favor, but as what's due. It's owed. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. Just as David speaks of the blessing of the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works, blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven, whose sins have been covered. There's a good word. It's very close to that blotting out. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account. Now, folks, we sit here this morning with sins and sin in abundance. I'm sorry. If God counted the sins, who could survive? I think the text says. Who could stand? Not one. And so we're talking about a condition that God is helping us with. The imputed credited side is graciously adding again that which is a must. It's necessary. Here's a great, great verse in this area. You might be scratching your head and trying to think, what's he really getting at? Let me see if this will help. Verse 17, chapter 4, Romans. It's written, a father of many nations have I made you, in the presence of him whom he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead. Are you ready? and calls into being that which does not exist. Isn't that great? God calls into existing, into existence, that which doesn't exist. That's the impute side that goes to you and I, to the sinner, who believes, who follows and obeys, who responds to the cross, to Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection. And so you and I go from having our sins taken away, blotted out, to an imputed position of being something that we could never be without God making it that. Now the picture is the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ set over against, Romans chapter 6, our being planted together in the likeness of his death in baptism, that we may also be in the likeness of his resurrection. We are buried, Romans 6 says, with him in baptism, into death. We're dying to sin, that we may also be in the likeness of his resurrection. We arise, it says, to walk in newness of life. And so these two pictures go hand in hand. And God is using this and the cross to call into being that which didn't exist before. But by his grace, by his mercy, by his power, and by the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus, it is now possible and it happens. Romans 5 continues the story, verse 6. For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, or perhaps a good one. For a good man, someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. These are powerful words, church.
Amen.
Our part in the imputing, about the only thing I can see that we have part in this thing, I'm over in the parable that Jesus has in Matthew 18, about a king who's reckoning with his slaves, and he brings one to him who owes him a bunch. And the guy says, please don't do that to me. And he has compassion, and he forgives him. And this guy runs right out and grabs one of his underlings, who owes a whole lot less, by the throat and says, pay up. And someone basically sees it, and now this guy is back in front of the king. The king says, you miserable person. I forgave you. Why couldn't you have some compassion? Folks, that's where we are. That's a picture of God, but it's a picture of you and me too. We just need to make sure we're in the right place in that barrel. Okay? We don't want to be the one who receives mercy from God and dispenses justice to others. Folks, if we are imputed to, we need to impute to others. God always imputes up. He wants to wipe out and blot out. And he does just that. We need to be careful with that. I chose Ephesians 1, 3 through 8 to close. Listen to the words and in the context of this blotting out and this imputing idea. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. This has been an idea in God's mind from the beginning, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. having predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Isn't that a great idea?
Amen.
According to, here it is again, the good pleasure of his will. It's God's nature. This pleases him to have this done. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. That's Jesus. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. So one more time, let's end where we started. You and I have a problem, and that problem is sin. God knows that. He knew it from the beginning. In his love and his very nature, according to his eternal wisdom, God provided for that problem. Number one, he takes away, blots out, forgets, covers, gets rid of the problem we have of being sinful people. Sin cannot be in God's presence. Go read the Old Testament and the text about all of that. He is holy, and holy doesn't have anything to do with sin. And so sin must be dealt with, and God deals with that. But no man comes to the Father but through Jesus. Okay? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So that has to happen. As we approach God, the new and living way from Hebrews 10 is Christ Jesus. And so God sends, prophetically, prophesying all through that Old Testament, he makes the prophecy come due. It is perfected in Christ Jesus, who comes and lives on this earth and suffers and dies and identifies and becomes our high priest and dies in our place. Isn't that great? That's the payment. That's the cost. That's the everything that imputes or credits or reckons to you and I, an adopted child position that is holy and clean and free. And 1 John comes along in the first chapter and says that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus keeps on cleansing us from all sin.
Amen.
Wow, what an idea! What a great thing God has done for his children. The Lord has been mindful of you and of me. Praise God. That's a pretty simple lesson. There are two pretty significant words in the Bible. Learn more about them. I just touched the hem of the garment with them. But learn more about them. Get the sense of the greatness of what God has done for you and I in this picture. You may be here this morning and not be a child of God. I'm going to encourage you to change that. Change it this morning. Don't put it off. I have a bad tendency to procrastinate. If I can put off anything a little bit longer, I'll probably figure out a way to do it. That's not wise in this arena.
Amen.
Change it this morning. You may be in this audience and need the prayers of this congregation. We're family. We love each other. We'll pray with you and for you. It'll be good for all of us. Won't you come us together? We stand and sing.